and music. Sports and music. Sports and music. Yeah. Sports. Yep, it's going hand in hand.
Yeah, we talking sports and music. Yep, they going hand in hand. Ballin' with my beats on. Gotta have that upper hand. Tying up my sneakers. Yeah, my ballers understand. And I hear them yelling from the stands. What they saying? Sports and music. Sports and music. Sports and music. Yep, it's going hand in hand. Sports and music. Sports and music. Sports and music. Gotta get it how we can. S&M all day. S&M all day. S&M all day. S&M all day, S&M all day, S&M all day, S&M all day, S&M all day.
What up? What's up, world? You know what it is? It's sports and music. We're back for another episode of Sports and Music with Mo Ager. Y'all know sports and music go hand in hand, so y'all need to stop frying. God, I'm just playing, man. Sports and music, man. We out here working hard, man. Shout out to Easy Way Broadcasting. Shout out to W Networks. We out here working hard, man. We advancing, man. You already know what it is. But then we have a really, 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 really special show coming up. It's the Sports and Music with Mo Ager NCAA edition. So I got a couple of my compadres from Michigan State. You know, I got Draymond Green, Timbo Grackis, you know, a couple guys, you know, that know a little something about the NCAA tournament, making it to the Final Four and, you know, and getting there. You know, this is the best time of the year. You know, I'm getting that itch right now. You know, it's starting to get warm out. You know, it's NCAA time, baby. It's March Madness, man. It's the time of the year where, you know, the passion from all year shows, you know, to the tournament. You know, the best teams are left standing. But, side note, you know, I finally shot my Motown video, track 2 on my album. I need you to go to www.moager.com to go ahead and hear that song, but the video should be done pretty soon. Shot by Louis Mayo, who we will be having on the show today also. He's here on the courtesy of Viewability. You know, he's my good friend, and he's been shooting my video since I've been in L.A., and me and him have been able to develop a really good relationship, you know, and we have him on the show today. He's decided to tell you guys not only about his business, but some of the things that me and him have going on. Yeah, man, it's been a really, really good week. We're working hard, man. We're just building the foundation. Takes time, you know. So I'm just thanking God every moment that I have the opportunity to be able to not only do the music that I love to do, but, you know, hopefully change some lives with some positivity and some things going on. And I'm thankful, you know. Thanks, shout out to E. Zuli, Eric Zuli, aka the Hollywood It guys, for giving me the opportunity to be able to put my show on a platform and be able to, you know, express some of the things that I'm trying to do on radio, you know, so you guys can hear it. And, you know, music is a platform, and I'm thankful to be able to do it, man. It's a blessing to go from the NBA to music. So that's Sports and Music with Mo Ager. And I would like to bring on my first guest. We have our callers in yet?
Mo, what's up?
Yo, who's that, Timbo the King?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we got our boy Timbo the King, Timbo Grackis, the boy from Michigan State, Flint native. You know, I'm done talking, man. Introduce the world to Timbo Grackis.
Yeah, like you said, born and raised Flint, Michigan, Flintstones, Michigan State, Spartans 01 to 05. Man, currently I'm grinding it out at the university, still working back at Michigan State with the Alumni Association, as well as doing some things with, you know, both of our good friends, Todd, T.J. Duckett, a lot of the community outreach stuff, and Andre Hudson, one of my other former teammates. Because of you, we started our own podcast. We have our Spartan Dog podcast that we run. And so SpartanPodcast.com, man, we're just out here trying to do as much as possible.
Right. So hold on, you said because of me. What you mean by that, bro?
Because I saw that you were doing your own show, and we were talking, and we figured we needed to get our own show. We just thought we went ahead and started it.
Wow. Honestly, I never knew that aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew you guys were up there doing it, but I didn't know that, you know, I was an inspiration for you guys to start your own show, man. That's dope, man. I really appreciate
that.
That
was it. Yeah, I was like, man, Mo got his own radio show, and we were sitting down, and I was like, Duck, we just need to start our own show and just start talking. And Dre was cool with it, so we were like, yeah, let's just figure out a way to do it. And we were fortunate that there's a site on campus a guy was already running podcasts off of, and he just let us come in. They have that studio in the comm building.
Right.
They just let us come in there and do it right in there.
That's good stuff, man. You know, first and foremost, man, you know, it was good playing with you at Michigan State. You know, we had a good time,
didn't we?
Man, we had a great time. We had our ups and downs. We made it to the tournament every year. We did a lot of special things, man. We shared some lifelong lessons, man. And let's talk about some of the things that, you know, me and you experienced over at Michigan State. You know,
while we
want to get online.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so let's talk about, like, I remember coming up to Michigan State when I wasn't even there yet. And you guys used to look at me crazy like, yo, why is this kid here with us at the Duff at 6 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, going through crazy workouts? I was technically out of high school, but I was up there because I was that hungry, man. But I remember you guys like, yo, this kid is crazy. But you know what it is?
Like, looking back at it, it's like you don't see that level of commitment in a lot of people nowadays, you know? Like, if you really wanted to be good at something, like, you picked it up early. Like, you really had to work hard at your craft. Like, you know, if it's basketball, if it's school, if it's music, you know, there's nothing substitutes hard work. And that was something that, you know, you don't see out of high school kids when they sign and they come to college to play. None of them are getting up at 6 a.m. to come work out early before they're even there officially. So it's different. But it's, you know how it is, man. You have to put the time in whatever you're doing if you want to see the success. I mean, that's you're not really, nobody's entitled to the end result of you're just entitled to the process. So that's all we're entitled to, is the work we get to do on a certain project. We're not entitled to what comes from it.
Right. Exactly. And I just remember how hard you used to work, man. And I feel like even to this day, you're going to be respected by a lot. You know, a lot of people, just because of you have a reputation of how hard you work. And now it's good to see that you're doing some things in the community, you know, some humanitarian work, you know, around the Lansing area. Man, let's talk about some of those things that you and Ty have going on. You know, we had Ty on one of my very first shows. You know, he talked about the raindrop, you know, single raindrop that's called the Flood Foundation. And
yeah,
he speaks very highly of you, man. Let's talk about some of the things you guys have going up there at Michigan State.
Yeah, you know what's funny is Todd and I, he was actually my host on my first official visit to Michigan State. I actually took a visit for football.
And oh, wow.
That's when we first met. I was a junior in high school. That's when we first met and we connected. And, you know, we obviously stayed close or friends throughout college. But then once he got done with his career and kind of went full circle and came back to Lansing, we reconnected and we saw that we kind of were like-minded in some of the things we wanted to do. And he got, you know, he reached out and I got involved with the New World Flood organization that he has going into the different schools and setting up the community service projects within the different schools. And now with the Smart Dog Group that we're starting, it's the same kind of deal, but we're looking to help out or just, you know, help network with former Michigan State athletes who, you know, once they've graduated, we want to make sure they know that there's a network of other athletes who are past sports careers but are embarking on other business-wise careers that we can all help each other out. And like you know, man, the Lansing area, it just opens its arms to athletes at Michigan State, and they gave us so much that, you know, we have to try to give back as much as possible.
Right. You're absolutely correct, man, and that's just cool. I just wish I'm down to help as much as you guys need, you know, all the way in Los Angeles, California. You know, I'm a phone call away whenever you guys need anything to be able to continue to get back to that community, because regardless of anything, you know, that community is loyal to us.
Yeah.
Even to this day, you know, we have loyal fans, you know, from the Lansing community that's going to be riders for us regardless, whether we're in the NBA, whether we're working, wherever, you know, they're always down. So I think it's very important to use the times where you can give back. You know, we gave back in ways at that time by just, you know, working hard on the court. But now we have more of a powerful access, which is being more hands-on and going into these communities and actually helping these people and empowering our youngsters, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, and I think the best thing about our athletic careers was that it opened up so many doors for us with meeting people. And now that gives us a lot, you know, gives us more access to do special things for others. You've done and seen things that, you know, the majority of people in the world will never see and do with your time in the NBA and overseas and now with your music, and so did Todd. And I think we all know it, you know, the enjoyment you get of like taking somebody to a special moment that you know they'll remember forever. Like that's the lasting memory that I like to make for people and putting them in those moments. And, you know, this life is about creating moments for other people and yourself. You know, that's what we're truly after, is those moments that we're always going to remember.
Right. And what's the point of being successful if you can't share it with others, man? That's driving forces with Motown. I feel like a lot of people had a lot of questions on my move and the reason for it. So I feel like, you know, I let them into my town. So I think Motown.
I had no clue you were ever going to come out with a rap album. Like,
that's crazy.
It was sweet, too. I was like, man, this is nice.
Yeah. But let's talk about, like, back at Michigan State, you know, when I was a freshman, sophomore, and you know, and how I was on those beats back then, you know, because some people still think that I just started doing this, man. I just want to put it on. Let's talk about some of those crazy stories.
So, like, you just being up all night in the hotels before games making beats? Might be at the gym shooting J's at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, but then making a beat until, like, 4 in the morning. And then coming to workouts at 6.
It was crazy,
like,
man.
You know, like, that is, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. That's why I said, like, you got to put that, people always want that instant success nowadays, but it just doesn't happen. Like, that's when you're cutting your teeth. Like, that's when you really started to understand how to this craft of making music. I mean, everybody can't do what, you know, what musicians do or producers do. That's the crazy thing. We all think we can. I can look at a machine and think I can make a beat or make a song, but that just doesn't happen.
Yeah. So that just takes me to my next point, man. Just letting people know how much hard work you really have to put into it once you really love a craft. Because nowadays, people think it does happen overnight. And it took me years to actually hone in on my production skills, and it took a lot of time. You know, I sacrificed a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
A lot of hours, and that's with anything. Like you said, man, you have to put in that time and effort in order to be successful. And knowing that building a foundation takes time, and being able to stay here for a very long time and be able to actually get capital from your craft, it takes time. You don't want to be
exactly.
here and then go on to next just because you got overnight success. The 15 minutes of fame only lasts for 15 minutes, and that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I think we see that with the amount of people who just pop up. Like, we can use music for an example. There's thousands of people who come up with, they have one good song, and then you never hear from them again. And that happens every year. There's a new person with one song. But you look at a group like the Rolling Stones, who's been touring for 50 years. Like, that's crazy to me. They've been in the same business for 50 years doing something that they love, but they put that time in, and they're still on the road. Those guys look like they're 100 years old.
That's crazy. Speaking of, at the end of the day, man, this is a Spartan edition. You know, this is NCAA edition of the Sports Music with Mo Eric, man. We got the boy Draymond Green on the phone, man. What up, boy?
Wow.
Draymond, what up, though? Yo, yeah, so we got the kid Draymond Green, you know, Spartan dog, of course. He out in Golden State doing his thing. And it's crazy, like, on my song Everything Official, I actually referenced Golden State for people who don't know. I said, man, I don't say it to brag, but to motivate. You got to be a warrior, homie, Golden State. You people want green and white, then go to state. All my true Spartan dogs, they going late. What up, boy?
What's good, Spartan dog?
Man, what's goody, man? We got the boy Timbo on the line, man. What's introduce the world to Draymond Green, man. Who we talking to right now?
You say what?
I said introduce the world to Draymond, man. Let him know who you are.
Oh, you know, Draymond Green, Spartan dog, Michigan State alum, you know, out here trying to hold it down in Golden State. Saginaw, Michigan product.
Sag Nasty.
It's the second best city besides Flint.
Oh, wow.
Come on now. You don't believe that.
Yeah, come on.
You don't believe that at all.
I do.
Flint even come behind Detroit. Let alone
Saginaw.
Get
out of here.
Come on.
Flint
can't come before Saginaw is behind Detroit. They behind
you. Hey, you wouldn't be where you're at without Flint.
Come on, man. You don't believe that at all.
Yeah, ask Mo. Ask Mo, please, that question.
Oh, flip down, man.
What's up, baby?
We got our Spartans on the line, man. How y'all feel about the Spartans making it back to the Sweet 16 and playing Duke, man? What's your thoughts?
I think it's just another bump in the road, to be honest. You know, we're going to go out there and take care of business like we always do. You know, so, you know, I think I know Coach going to have the guys ready. They're going to come out and ball. Take care of the Dukies. Get them out of here. You know, I actually got a little something out here going on with Steph Curry because, you know, his brother Seth played the Duke.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, I know the last time we played Duke in the Sweet 16, y'all know what happens. So I don't even have to find out what happened.
Yeah. Get them boys out of here. Right on to the Final Four.
We got them out of here. You know, we know what happened. We all know what happened in that game. You know, we ended up winning by 10. But, you know, I can't go nowhere without people talking about that J.J. Redick dunk. I'm like, come on, man, knock it off. Man. It's over.
I just watched it yesterday.
See?
Somebody sent me that clip, and I remembered it, but I didn't remember quite how nasty it was.
Probably going to show that highlight during the game. How can you not?
Exactly. It's all good, though. Draymond, man, let's talk about your NBA experience, man. You know, we've been Spartan dogs for years, man. I went up there and visited you while you was in school. You was doing your thing, man. I'm proud of you for making it to the next level, man. How are you liking
the
NBA?
I mean, it's great. You know, obviously, it's been a dream since I was a little kid, just like any other person that played basketball. Everybody, you know, we all call them hoop dreams. So, you know, to actually make it and be here, you know, it's still some days where I just sit back, you know, and can't believe it. Because,
right.
You know, it's just like, you know, this little kid from Saginaw with a dream and actually living it. And so, you know, so many people had a dream of playing in the NBA, and for me to be blessed, you know, to be one of the guys to actually make it, you know, it's been great, you know, and it just, but it also shows me, you know, not to ever take it for granted, you know, because you look at the numbers and all the different things, and it's just a blessing to be here. So you got to, I mean, it's teaching me to always stay working no matter what. You know, one thing I've learned quickly about the NBA, you know, if you ain't a guy who plays 30, 35 minutes, you got to keep yourself in shape. You know, practice ain't like that. You ain't going to be practicing a ton. So, you know, I've just been learning a lot of different stuff and, you know, having good vets out here, you know, Cherrick, Jack, David Lee, Andrew Bogut, all those guys, Steph Curry, they helped me out a lot and to help me make the transition, help make it a little more smoother for me.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed when I got to the league, man. I found myself, like, when I wasn't playing as much, you know, you have to do that extra cardio. You know, you might have to be playing one-on-one with the other rookie or the other guys who are not playing as much. You got to play 3-on-3. Sometimes the team might not have practice, but y'all might have to come in, you know, for like a walk through the plays and stuff like that. So those are some of the things you really have to get used to, man. And you already know, man, the typical stay in the gym after practice, before practice, you know, get in there with a coach, watch film. You know, some of the things we were taught at Michigan State, man, there's no difference once you get to the next level, man.
Definitely. I think, you know, that's where a lot of people get confused, and you know, I've had an okay year. I haven't had the year that I wanted. I haven't had a great year, but you know, one thing Coach always tell me, you know, is I've watched you for 4 years. Do what got you here. Do what I know you can do, and it goes along with that same thing. You know, what we was taught at Michigan State, you just keep doing the same thing. You know, don't start doing something that's not you or not doing what got you here, because that's what got you here. Obviously, that's what they like. That's what's gonna keep you here. So it just kind of run along with those same lines. You know, what you learned back then, it goes along with on the court as well. You know, what you know how to do, if you did it in college, it ain't no different. You know, you got a few more athletes. You know, guys are stronger and bigger, but it ain't no different. You know, you can come up and do the same thing. So that's something I've been doing and, you know, getting a little more comfortable with, just, you know, just trying to play my game and do what I do. And like you said, it go along with the same things you were just talking about, learning how to watch film at Michigan State, learning that you need to be in the gym before practice, early, staying late, coming in late, you know, nighttime, shooting, all those different things.
Exactly. Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
Let me ask y'all this, man. How do y'all feel that Michigan State has prepared y'all for life after, you know, Michigan State, man?
You know, what's funny is, like, I was reading a book about the Marines, and they were talking about how they enjoy being miserable because it prepares them for the hardships of life. And I think, one thing, it sounds terrible, but Michigan State, it taught me how to grind during, like, tough, miserable times. And, like, cause you're going to run into him every day. Like, everything is not smooth. It doesn't matter what, like, where you are. I'm sure Draymond will tell you he has days that are really, really hard. He's an NBA player right now. But it just taught me how to you know, take the good with the bad, keep moving forward, and keep focused on the prize, and not focus more on the process of getting there, and not so much on what that end result is going to be, and just keep working.
Exactly. What about yourself, Draymond?
I mean, I definitely second that. You know, especially playing with Coach Izzo, you never know what you're gonna get. You know what I'm saying? One day you might get, you know, Coach Izzo who, you know, just chilling. And the next day you might walk into practice and it's pick on Draymond Day. You know, I'm going to see how he's going to respond. And so it's like, I know y'all know about that. So it's like, that's the same thing life throw at you. Like, you might have a great day today, but you don't know what tomorrow's going to throw at you. So whether it's family problems, whether it's, you know, relationship issues, whether it's money issues, whether somebody asks you for this, whether you know you got to do that, but, you know, I need to help my mom. Like, you never know what it's going to throw at you. And I definitely think, you know, playing for Michigan State, you know, just being around, you know, all the fellas, all the coaching staff, you know, coaches, all that stuff, I definitely think that helped prepare me for life because, you know, the same stuff he used to throw at us on the basketball court, when you're there and you're going through it, you don't realize, like, man, this dude, you know, he's doing this because of that reason. You know, he just yelled at me about this, but I can really relate it to this. You don't realize until you leave, like, or maybe senior year, like, wow, like, this is why he's doing that. You know, this is why he did that. And then you really get an appreciation for it. So, you know, I definitely think it helped me prepare me for life and, you know, what I'm going through now and, you know, even what I'm going to see down the road. Who knows what that's going to be because you just don't know what life's going to throw at you.
You're absolutely correct, man. And one thing I know about Spartan Dawgs, man, we know how to fight. And I think at this point, Coach Izzo has prepared me mentally for life. You know, he used to say it all the time. Like, it's a dog-eat-dog world. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And he was right. He was absolutely correct because, you know, basketball can protect you as much as you allow it to. But once you get in this real world, man, nobody cares about it. So my advice to me is, whatever you're trying to do after basketball, man, find a second craft now just because you might be able to get someone to help you now. But, like, when you're done playing, it's not the same. Me and Timmy was actually having a discussion. Remember those golf outings we used to always do at Michigan State?
Yeah.
I used to think there was a waste of time at Michigan State. I was like, why are we doing this? But at that time, I didn't realize that the guys that I needed to be talking to at those golf outings were the guys that I need to talk to now. When they love you, that's when they love you. I'm just saying. So basically, take advantage of while you're in the NBA, man. Continue to connect, meet good people. Not saying I didn't, but, you know, I feel like it's very important to connect with people while you can, when you can, because, you know, once it's over, you know. And, you know, athletes have a hard time after sports because, you know, they probably burnt a lot of bridges. They never really tapped into outsourcing. They never really found another craft, another niche. So that's my advice to you as a young player in the NBA, man. Always looking forward to something else besides basketball because, you know, hoops run out, whether you want to believe that or not.
Definitely. I definitely try to take advantage of that. You know, I think, you know, I think at Michigan State, you know, going to all those different events, I kind of took advantage of it, you know. I mean, we all got growing up to do, so I don't think I took full advantage of it, but I took, you know, a little advantage of it. And, you know, being in this position still got a little time to take advantage of it, just meet new people, because you never know not only who can help you, but who you may be able to help, you know. So
yeah,
definitely got to take advantage of that.
Man, it all goes hand in hand. You know, you never want to put yourself in a position where you need help. You always want to be the one that, okay, we're going to work together with this. You know?
Exactly.
So that's dope, man. It's good to hear from you, man. Let me ask you this. So what are you doing back at home, man, to get back to Saginaw? You know, I know you're a proud Saginaw representative. What are you doing back home to, you know, to represent?
You know, I'm doing a few things actually. I'm gonna have a little camp this summer. You know, just give the kids something to do, you know, bring some guys out there, you know, let them meet, you know, just 'cause one thing about it is, especially growing up as a kid, coming up in the neighborhood, like, you don't really see people that, you know, who started you don't think, for instance, you don't think somebody started at the same position you was in. Like, you know, you would never guess, all right, LeBron James was poor. You know, so, you know, to go back and do stuff with kids like that and just show them, you know, hey, I was the same little kid you are, struggling, mom struggling, you know, dad may be struggling, may not be there, whoever knows what the situation is, but with a dream, you know, have a dream, have a goal, and a little determination to make it happen, you never know what can happen. So I'm definitely doing something like that. I mean, during the camp that, you know, me and Lamar working on, was talking last night actually about putting some stuff together and just, you know, just doing little stuff to give back. You know, and right now, you know, I'm still a rookie, so I'm not in a position where I can, you know, I can go give all these thousands of dollars. But sometimes it's just you showing up at something, you know, or whether it's $10,000 put into it or $2,000 put into it, it's just the fact of you doing something, you know, to help out or to show somebody else something there. You know, one thing my high school coach, Coach Dawkins, used to always tell me, you know, I may do something with, you know, if I do something with 15 kids and I only get through to one, I probably save that one life and I've done my job, you know. So, you know, just constantly going to be trying to do different stuff. I ain't got everything all mapped out yet, but that's definitely, you know, getting processed right now and just working it out.
Yeah, but you got the good mindset, man. That's the right mindset to have, man. At the end of the day, it's like, no, money isn't everything, you know. You can always help a kid by just shooting them a text. I remember I was in the NBA when, you know, some of the younger guys, I remember you hitting me up. You know, I don't know how much I probably helped you when you hit me up asking for advice or anything like that, you know. So at the end of the day, it's about lifting people up in other ways, you know, and things that are be more beneficial for their career. Well, what you guys have, like Timbo, like for the NCAA, we have the Final Four coming up pretty soon. Who do you guys have in the Final Four besides Michigan State?
I'll be honest, I didn't even fill a bracket out because I never pick any other teams to win except Michigan State.
I'm never gonna pick another team to win except Michigan State.
I say Indiana, Ohio State, Michigan State, and I don't even know the other region.
Kansas.
I'll take Kansas because they're playing Michigan.
Okay. Hey, so you basically got a Big Ten Final Four.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get it. A Big Ten Final Four minus U of M.
Get them out of here.
Yeah, get them out.
They got to go.
Yeah.
They got to go ASAP.
They need to go, man.
I got Michigan State, Kansas, Indiana, and who did I have in my other bracket? I don't think it was Ohio State, but it possibly could have been.
Ohio State, man, yeah, Big Ten was tough this year, man. Like, they tough every year, but it's like I do see the Final Four being almost all Big Ten.
Well, Ohio State's region, that bracket got blown up so much that everybody losing there. They beat Arizona, you might as well pencil them in.
Yeah, because if they beat Arizona, they play the winner of LaSalle and Florida Gulf Coast.
I forgot about Florida Gulf Coast. They don't. Yeah, that's the crazy part. Like every year, man, you always get those Cinderella teams, man. Those teams that come from out of nowhere, they end up playing weak. Like I just look at the George Mason, who beat us my senior year.
Yeah, you get that every year. I mean, Butler, my sophomore year, Butler beat us in the Final Four, went to the championship.
That's true.
So, we get that every year.
How are you guys using social media as a gateway for, you know, for promoting your business and stuff like that?
I mean, it first started off with not – I mean, the first step is not tweeting garbage, you know, whether, you know, it's – whatever it may be about, you can't just be tweeting garbage and then later on you got something going on and you're like, oh, I'm about to promote this. Like, nobody's going to pay that attention because you just, like, they just saw 3 hours ago you was on there fooling, you know, making a fool of yourself. So I think that's the first step is just keeping your image clean with it, you know, talking to fans. I think that's one of the most important things, you know, just because so people can see, you know, they're normal. Because a lot of times people put you on a pedestal and they don't think you're human. You know, so when you get on there and you talk to fans and, you know, you talk about something that, you know, everybody else might be talking about, they're like, oh, you know, he got the same interest as me, or, you know, wow, like, he's talking back to me. But it just shows people that, you know, we're not bigger than anyone. What we do, we just, out in the open. Like, so you're going to see us on TV. You know, you're going to come to the game and see us playing an NBA game. But we're just like you. And so I think that's the first step with anything, just making sure you keep your image clean on there and, you know, just interacting with people.
Yeah, that's the best advice I've heard anybody give in a long time. Don't tweet garbage.
Thank you, Timbo.
And that's the best advice. There's so much of it. I'm with it, man. Just like especially like Twitter or something like that. It's like that's like a two-way communication. Like people want to hear back from you. I mean, like
exactly.
That's really Twitter is like the new. It's like the new autograph. If you can get a retweet or somebody responds to you, that's like getting an autograph. When we were a little kid, and we tried to get people to sign something. Like that's more important than getting Draymond to sign something is getting him to retweet a tweet at him. So
definitely,
you know, it's just showing who you truly are on there and not acting like you're something that you're not. People, you know, people want they want to know what's going on. We all everybody wants to know knowledge. And that's why everybody watches all those reality shows. They want to know what people are doing. You're just being yourself, you're not being a bum.
Definitely, man. It was good having you guys on the show. Speaking of social networks, man, let's figure out how we're gonna keep up with you guys on Twitter, Facebook. We're gonna start with Tim, man. Give us your Twitter, man, so people can follow you.
It's at Tim Bogracus, Bogracos. I need more followers like Draymond.
I ain't got no followers, man.
What about you, Draymond?
My Twitter, Money23Green.
Y'all hear that? Money23Green. Is your Instagram the same as your Twitter?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, once again, man, my Spartan dogs, man, it was a pleasure having you guys on. Thanks for taking time out your busy day to, you know, holler at the boy Mo Ager. We're going to be continue to blast this show. I'm going to make sure you guys get the link so we can, you know, people can tune in later on and check us out. And I appreciate
that.
Draymond, man, good luck with the rest of the season. And keep doing your thing. Let's keep in touch. Timbo, you already know what it is, man. We're going to talking this week. You know, cause we have some really, really good things. We didn't even get a chance to talk about some of the great things we have going on. But, you know, we have time.
In the future.
So
in the future.
Let's keep it moving, man. Thanks again for tuning in. Sports Music with Mo Ager. We're about to take a quick commercial break before we bring on our next guest, Louis Mayo of Ability. Make sure you guys follow the Hollywood It guy, Eric Zuli. It's Easy Way Broadcasting, Sports and Music with Mo Ager. Let's get it.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zuli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Do you want a stronger internet presence and social media following for you or your business? Eric Easy Zuli and his company, Easy Way Entertainment, can help you get discovered. Go to www.easywaybroadcasting.com for prices and packages that can help you take control of your internet presence and gain marketing exposure.
Yes, sir. We working hard, man. We doing it. We out here in L.A. working hard, man. Yo, shout out to Draymond Green. Shout out to Timbo Gracky, my fellow party, for tuning in. It's a big week for us. You know, we got Duke again in the NCAA tournament. The last time we guys met up, we beat them in 2005 by 10 points. And we plan on beating them again. So, yeah, mark my words, man. We're going back to the Final Four. And one of my promises I made on Twitter, if we make it to the Final Four, which I believe we are, I'm going to shoot a video and record a new song. It's going to be called, I can't tell you the name of the song yet. You have to wait till we make it to the Final Four. But speaking of shooting a video, I will be having my boy Louis Mayo shooting the video again. One of my top go-to guys when it comes to this film thing, and it's probably my only go-to guy at this point, because everybody else is not as cool as him. So we're going to bring him on. Lou Mayo, where you at, brother?
Hello.
Louis.
What's going on?
Louis, man.
Love
hey,
the show, man.
Than that, bro. You always you have a lot more energy when we shooting videos, man. You sound like you're tired right now, bro. What's up?
I'm actually in my car right now. It's the quietest place that I can find at the moment.
Shoot it.
Yeah, I'm actually shooting right now, so I'm taking a quick break just to make sure I'm on your show. And I was actually listening to your just before I got on. Those guys are really good.
Absolutely.
All
right, man. Who is Louis Mayo? Tell us about Louis Mayo. Introduce the world to you, brother.
Well, apparently I've been doing this as a professional. I don't really know when that happened, when I turned from a student to a professional. But, you know, I do films, commercials, company videos. My main goal is to do feature films, and obviously we're doing a lot of music videos, and we got a lot of music videos in the works, but feature films is my my main passion, so hopefully we take it to the next level sometime this year, or maybe even next year, so we'll see. That's me.
You know, I've been pumping you up on here on Sports Music for the last 3 or 4 episodes, just talking about the video we were going to shoot.
No way.
We shot the Motown video 2 weeks ago.
Right.
My experience was great. I felt like we got a lot accomplished. And even that week, man, we did a lot that week. But we're going to talk about the most time long. Let's talk about your experience with shooting it with me, you, and Christian, and, you know, just everybody that was involved.
Oh, man, that process was amazing. I remember when you told me you wanted to make a music video, it was actually for a different single. And I'm so glad that you chose Motown because Motown has more inspirational value. So I'm glad that you chose Motown, and the screenwriting process was so easy. I know your style, you know, I know you like to motivate people and inspire people, and so do I. So basically I just use those lines when I created a story, and obviously we checked it and verified it with you, but that process was very easy. The hardest part, honestly, was finding the locations, and once we got the locations and we got the little kids, that was the hardest part, to get the kids too. But Maurice is so good with kids. It's, when you see this video, you're just going to see that his face literally lights up when the kids are in the scene, and it's just so awesome. I have behind-the-scene footage. It was actually shot by Mo, so we'll have to post those up soon just so you can see how he really is with the kids. It's amazing, truly amazing. But that was actually, Saturday was a 16-hour shoot day, and it really killed us. But, I mean, we were up early in the morning the next day doing it again, and I want to change it for the world. And that's the life that we chose, and I wouldn't take it back at all. It was amazing.
Absolutely, man. Shout out to Dusty for actually setting up the kids. That was huge.
Right.
That was huge at the park.
Absolutely.
And honestly, man, we started playing this video early. Right?
Yeah, it's been a long time. We've both been busy in between, so I think the timing was right, though, this time. It was organic, so I think I'm really happy that it took this long. And the weather's better, so that's good.
Absolutely, and you know, of course, we have the promo. The Pistons promo video is actually almost 2,000 videos. I mean, 2,000 views in a couple of weeks. So that's that's a good look.
Nah, that's not bad at all. You know, it was a low key release, so that's not bad at all.
Awesome.
Do they know how it was shot? Did you explain to them how it was shot?
Nah, hey man, we got you. You explain.
All right, well, check this out. He invites me over to his birthday celebration at the W Hotel in Hollywood. And, you know, I brought my camera. I always bring a backup camera. It wasn't my main camera, but I brought a backup camera. And he was just explaining to me that he had his new single. And, you know, what better way to release a single than just at least a performance video? And, yeah, we can't shoot a music video because we already had one in the works. So we decided to just shoot with all natural lighting. We didn't have anything other than just one camera and one lens, and you know, in a massive hotel. So, you know, we think we did a pretty good job of with what we had. We shot it literally in less than an hour, but we had a lot of fun doing it, and that was how Pistons came about. Backup camera, last minute, no storyline, no preparation, just natural lighting, and impromptu inspiration, I guess.
Yeah, and it came out awesome. So
I think so, yeah.
So now we have the t-shirts.
Ooh.
We have the logo on my t-shirt. So I have to tell the world, I've been wanting to tell the world for a very long time now. I'm going to continue to tell the world how my logo came about. Me and Louis Mayo were out in Culver City. This is a true story. He was out in Culver City at Taco, rubbing. So we just talking about life, talking about success, talking about passion, talking about God. We just talking about the whole nine. So basically, he was like, what are you going to do for your art cover? I'm like, man, I have a few ideas, but I wasn't even sold on them. So it got to a point where he was like, yo, bro, you draw, right? I'm like, yeah, yeah, I draw. He's like, why don't you draw your art cover? Not even 5 minutes later, I had my art cover drawn. I grabbed the napkin. I drew everything out. I drew my vision. It was coming to me so organically to a point where he was done with his tacos, and he was like, yo, bro, that's your art cover? That's dope. So eventually, we got to show that picture. I know you still have the picture. Where you.
I took a picture of it, yeah. So all the posts that literally he drew it on a napkin, and was it a week later, 2 weeks later? It was your actual album cover, filled in, digitized, everything, the whole nine.
Exactly.
It was amazing.
Now we have the T-shirts, and then after, you know, we got the T-shirt line coming out next week, and that should be available next week, y'all. You know, we got the T-shirts, we got the hoodies, we got the tank tops for the females, and it's going to be a big movement, you know, with the Moa Egger brand, and I really have to thank Louis Reed for even giving me that idea, because I don't even know if I would have thought of it. If Louis didn't tell me to draw my own artwork, man, I feel like that was behind
It's so funny, though, because Mo was honestly, like, spilling out his passion for drawing. And in my head, I'm thinking, wait, what about his album art? So I asked him, you know, do you have, like, a picture for your album art or something? He's like, no, I haven't designed it yet. And I was like, well, I mean, it's a no-brainer. And if you could draw, might as well do it for your album. He's like, you are the smartest man in the world. And, like, this guy just jolted, got, like, a brand-new napkin. I don't even know where he got. He must have went to a bartender or something. Got a napkin, came back, and just started going to town, like, mid-dinner. So I didn't even know if I should continue eating because he was just going to town, so I just felt rude eating. So I kind of stopped a little bit, looked over, and he was actually drawing the album. And I asked him, are you just doing this to refresh your memory? He's like, no, like, I might actually use this as my album. And I was laughing because I thought he was, you know, just joking around. But no, a week or 2 weeks later, it came out, and better than I had imagined. It looks, it's the same thing. I wouldn't say it's similar. It's the same thing. He actually had it. Did you have it scanned or digitized, or what happened? How was that process?
I'm going to tell them what I did. So I drew it on a napkin. I kept the napkin. I think we were supposed to go out that night. I remember we were supposed to meet somewhere.
Right,
like, bro, I ended up driving to Kiko's in Hollywood. I went got papers and pencils. I drew the whole thing over again. Like, I drew it completely the same as, and I went to Kiko's. I scanned and copied it and sent it over to my boy Enes, and he digitalized it for me. And then he sent it back the next day. Now we have, you know, what we have, and I plan on using this as a brand for a very long time. And once people really understand what the album cover is about and what it means, and, you know, I think it's going to mean that was much more for the music. So, you know, enough about me,
man.
Thing, man. About how you got into, you know, film and recording and like, tell us how you got into it. What inspired you to do it?
Well, I've been filming for a long time. I used to skateboard middle school and high school, so I feel like every skater has to film themselves to get out there, to get sponsored and whatnot. But, you know, my parents were always, I wouldn't say against it, but they always told me just to make sure I put my cards elsewhere so I'll have a backup in case, you know, it doesn't work out. And so I believed it. You know, I always did it for fun, but never thought I could actually make a career out of this. And then after college, I got a job, really good job at Nokia that I was really happy with. And after a year later, it sunk. I just felt empty. You know, it was a good job. Parents were happy. But I wasn't after a year. So I decided since I was still young, I had to move to Los Angeles to pursue this this industry because San Diego is not really welcoming for a film industry. So I applied to UCLA's producing program, and luckily I got in. So it warranted the move. I quit Nokia, went here with just my savings, and, you know, I've been filming nonstop, been on the grind for about 2 years now, and it finally came around. You know, and now I'm getting, you know, awesome clients that will probably be with me for the rest of my life. And then now I got a pretty good contract deal with another company that allows me to film videos for Volkswagen, Audi, and et cetera. So I couldn't be more thankful. And I got in touch with you, and now we're taking big leaps in the right direction for our careers. And, you know, I think you brought up a really good comparison with Tarantino and Risa. You know, they came up together, and now that they're big time, they're still using each other's services and skills, and they're just a team. You know, and that's what I like about us is that we seem to be doing everything side by side, and I love this teamwork, and I love how we have all the resources at our fingertips, and we really don't have any excuses now for putting out good stuff. So expectations are high, and I know we can meet them.
Exactly, especially with teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. And, you know, me and you always have conversations on, you know, following your passion. And, you know, and we talk about some of the risks in following your passion, man. Let's talk about some of the risks that you've taken and some of the sacrifices you've made to actually follow after, you know, filmmaking.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Theta Chi from UCLA. That was actually the place where I lived the first 2 years when I moved out here. I'm not even in the fraternity, but those guys are amazing. They're not your typical fraternity, so... You know, people think, oh, you live in a frat house, it must have been awesome. But no, these guys are really smart guys, really hardworking. And I think that's like allowed me to stay focused, being in a whole new environment like this. But they're a bunch of great guys. So the sacrifice of, you know, living in a clean environment, living in a dormitory-style building for, you know, the mid-20s, it was kind of a strange and awkward situation. But it was a must. I mean, it was the only way I was able to stay out here. And it was a big sacrifice, and health-wise, it was fine. You know, I kept up with my health, but the sacrificing just, like, living space and just healthy living, really, was probably my biggest sacrifice. Everything else was fine. Like, I was making nothing for a while, but I was being rewarding, compensated with happiness and this, like, feeling of reward every time I complete a project, regardless of how much it monetized value it was, so... The sacrifice really wasn't that bad, to be honest. I wouldn't really recommend it for most people, though, just because it does put you in a really weird situation where you have nothing left and all you could go is up. And some people don't like to be that close to the bottom.
Right.
But, you know, I loved it. And I'm pretty sure, you know, like every artist out there has lived that lifestyle, lived in maybe even their cars, just in order to get to where they are today. And I love it. It's like a little fraternity in itself of artists who didn't have anything coming up, and now they are able to enjoy the fruits of their labor.
Right, and, you know, it takes a lot of faith in God, obviously, to be able to...
absolutely.
...to be able to, you know, make those type of sacrifices, you know. You said one thing, man. Some people don't like to be that close to the bottom.
No, not at all. It's scary.
It's scary to know that you potentially can lose your money by chasing a dream that most people don't make, so...
So a lot of times,
you just find yourself making those sacrifices and having to live with them. You know what I'm saying? That's because of, you know, the choice you made.
Yeah. Speaking of God, you know, I was actually 1 month away from moving back to San Diego. I just could not afford it out here, and I used a little money that I did have left to go to a church retreat. And, you know, I had a long conversation with the big man upstairs for the entire weekend. And I came back ready to pack up my things, and I got the first phone call of its kind. Some guy called me, and he was having a fashion show for his clothing line. And he asked me what my rate was. And I looked at my roommate, and I said, "My rate? What's my rate?" And my roommate was like, I don't know, say something. So I just threw out this, what I think now, today, you know, I look at it as a really low number, but I just threw out this really low number, and they're like, "Sure, we'll have you here by Saturday." And I hung up the phone, and I was celebrating. You know, my roommate and I were jumping up and down because, like, I got my first gig that was actually paid. And to me, that was a lot of money. I mean, not having anything and then getting that phone call, you know, to get paid for my services was, like, a life changer. And from then, November of 2011 to this day, I haven't been able to breathe from all the requests that I've been getting. It was just that one phone call changed my life. So it's really cool. You know, you struggle really hard, but I was positive the entire time. I spoke to the big man upstairs, let him know what my plans were. And, you know, I was asking for an answer, but I didn't expect it so quickly. And it came, and I was able to stay another month, then another month. And then now I feel like I could live out here for as long as I choose. So thank you,
man.
God. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, awesome. You know, God is amazing, man. So that means, you know, you always have to stay humble, always thankful, always remember where you come from. Never allow the success to put you in a space to where you, you know, forget who you are, because it can happen. And it happens to the best of us. So some of those, you know, just always having a foundation with God is one of those things that's always going to keep you humble, man. So,
right.
Yes. What's your Twitter, man? How can we find out more about Luis Mayo, man. How can people, you know, follow you or get requested, you know, so they can see some of the great things I've been able to experience with the film and videos and such?
Yeah, you can reach me on social networks like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Facebook, it's facebook.com/viewbility, V-I-E-W-B-I-L-I-T-Y. And same with Twitter, at viewbility. And YouTube is youtube.com/viewbility. And I'm always posting videos, and I have a huge range of videos that I do. I don't just pick one genre and one style. I do a lot of commercials of every category, every industry. So it's fun to check it out because you really don't know what I'm going to put out next. And this music video that we're doing together is my first real music video. So I am really, really excited about releasing it. And I have begun editing, so that's coming hopefully soon. I want it to be perfect when it comes out. So it's going to take some time, but it looks fantastic. I will have to take time to take some production stills and put them out there so that you all can see them before it comes out. But there's nothing that can describe the motion pictures of this. I mean, it's just truly amazing. You did a really good job, Mo. It's like you've been acting for years, you know?
Yeah.
For a music video, you would never think that there's that much acting involved, but I like to call this a music film. So,
absolutely. So well, man, thanks once again for joining us for the show, man. We'll be in contact later on throughout this week, man. And, you know, thanks for joining us, bro.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, brother. Well, God bless.
All right. So that was the kid, Luis Mayo, the extraordinary film guy. You know, he's great with the photos. He's great with the directing, man. He's up and coming, man. He's doing a lot of great things. You know, we have our artist of the week online, Lil Miss P. You there? Hello?
Everyone's my influences from the old school to the new school. I look at everybody as their talents grow and continue to work, and I just use that to accomplish me, to help me push forward in what I'm trying to accomplish.
Right. How were you when you first started, you know, deciding that music was going to be something that you really wanted to do?
Well, I've been into music since I was, like, young, a baby. My dad, he used to tell me these stories about him putting on reggae, and I'd be bobbing my head to it. And, like, when I was 6 years old, I used to go to the studio with my father, and while they were doing their thing. And I've just been interested into it, like, my whole life.
Right. That's pretty cool. So do you feel like you're a role model for the young ladies out there that actually want to rap also?
I believe I am. I don't just stick with one type of genre of rapping, the hardcore thing. Like, I have my positive things that I do as well, you know, for the youth and for the teens. Like, I have a little bit of something for everyone. And I'm definitely encouraging people to go ahead and do what they do and whatever their focus is on it, to just stay focused in life and just do what you need to do. So I think I'm a good influence.
Ah, that's pretty good. How much time does it take for you to actually create and produce a song?
Well, on a good day, I can create one in about 15 minutes, probably less than that. But, yeah, it depends on the vibe that I'm feeling. I write fast. Recording is always good, so it don't take me long at all. It just comes.
Right. You actually write and produce your own records?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so what you making your beats on?
I help with the producing, but as far as my producer, his name is Eric Turner. He's out there in Fifth Letter in Sacramento, Fifth Letter Studios. He's actually my producer. And I work with another couple of people, Skylar Clay. He's involved with the producer on track, so.
Right. That's pretty cool. So, like, as far as performing, like, what goes through your mind, like, as you perform? Like, how do you actually want to move the crowd? Do you want them guys, you want the crowd to leave feeling like, oh, man, I want to do this? Or do you want them to feel what's the feeling that you try to give off in your performances?
Well, of course, I most definitely want to leave the crowd with a good impression to make them want more and be like, oh, well, where can I find her music? Or she was good, or she did that. I just most definitely want them to remember me in whatever it is that I do. Of course, I get nervous and still get butterflies, but once I hit the stage, all that goes away, and I just get in my zone, and I know if I feel it, then most definitely the crowd is going to feel it too.
That's absolutely correct. Like, if you don't believe in the songs, nobody else will. How do people get in contact with you? Like, what's your social media, your Twitters, your Facebook, your Instagrams?
I have a website, moreentertainmentandproduction.com. You can find some information about me on there, and that's MOORE. And as far as, like, emails, you can send emails to Little Miss P101, and that's LILMIZZP101@yahoo.com. My Twitter is Little Miss P101 as well. And my Facebook, you can Facebook me at Little Miss P First Lady.
Okay. That's what's up. Well, I wanna wish you good luck in all your adventures, and, you know, continue to have passion and drive in your music. Continue to get better. Continue to polish your lyrics, your rhymes, and, you know, keep doing you and keep working hard. And I want to thank you once again for joining us on Sports and Music with Mo Agar.
Oh, thank you, Mo. It's been a pleasure. And I just want to let you know that you can find my music on CDBaby.com. You can go to YouTube and look for Lil Miss P. And you can also go to the radio play and go ahead and listen to Lil Miss P as well.
That's what it is. Y'all heard it. But we reached a conclusion to Sports and Music. You know, we had a really good episode. You know, we had our guys on here from Mississippi State. We had Louis Mayo. We had Lil Miss P. Letting us know how we're doing our thing. That's the music y'all hear in the background. We need y'all to follow me on Twitter. That's MOEAGER. Also, follow the boy Eric Zuli on at, let me make sure I got that right. Is that. Eric Zulian. That's E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y. And that's Easy Way Broadcasting. It's sports and music with Mo Agar. Make sure you guys visit the website, www.moeager.com. And you can also go on my website and catch all the old shows that you wasn't able to catch prior. So you guys have a blessed week. Shout out to my Spartan Dogs as we go take care of our business this weekend, Sweet 16 against Duke. Let's go ahead and take care of our business, guys. And once again, sports and music with Mo Agar. You guys have a blessed week. Let's get it.
Pacific Standard Time.